broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for October 5th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is Hour 2 at 2. The goal always, steady as a rock, that is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the tradition of our founding fathers. We use the Constitution, the blueprint for liberty, and the checks and balances, along with good, honest American people keeping the commandments of God to get that done. America built the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we can restore it, we can preserve it, but it takes all of us working together. Welcome to the broadcast. Now, we got Sheriff Richard Mack with us. We got Kirk Crosby with us. Mack can't stay very long. Hello, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Good, Sheriff. Welcome, sir.
Well, thanks for having me, Sam. I know it's all right. A hectic morning.
There's two issues that I want to get to, completely opposite in their nature. The first one is pupusas. Now, if you don't know what they are, they're an El Salvadorian food that we all love to eat, and the pupusa smackdown is underway. Yes. Now, Richard used to come to Utah to get his pupusas all the time, but he went to Florida and he had the best pupusas he's ever eaten in his life in Florida with Kevin Blake and crew, the Florida director for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And so what I did now is I went on the Holy Grail across the state of Utah to find the best pupusas in the state. And now I got two restaurants that I'm going to go vet first and bring you to next, Sheriff, because we've got to beat Florida. We beat them in honest money, because we have gold and silver as legal tender in Utah, and now we got to win the pupusa wars here in Utah. And so I got two new restaurants for pupusas that I'll be vetting, and then we'll go ahead and,
Where are they located?
They're in Salt Lake City, sir.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that, because the ones I had in Florida were just absolutely tremendous.
And if not, then I might have to go to Florida and try them.
Yeah, it would be worth the trip.
But anyway, the pupusa battle is on. It's like a reality TV series, and we'll let you know what happens with that. Anyway, sideshow, but it's fun. An emotional Ammon Bundy testifies in his own defense.
Yeah.
That's the latest in the Ammon Bundy case, ladies and gentlemen. They're in trial, as you know. There's not much coming out because the judge is kind of a thug. Nevertheless, some good things have happened for Ammon and Ryan and crew. Number one, Pete Santilli got released of all charges there. But Ammon Bundy testifies on his own. Rarely do they let people take the stand in these kind of scenarios, right, Richard?
That's true. I was kind of surprised, but I spoke to his lawyer this morning, and she said that even Ammon got cold feet, and I told her, I said, I would expect that Ammon would have done a very good job testifying, and she said that he did.
Of course he did. He's humble. He's honest. He tells the truth. He has nothing to hide. When you really understand Ammon's mind and heart, you can't disagree that he's an honorable gentleman.
Right, that is true.
And even the judge will see that, I'm confident. And that's the value of him taking the stand. Even with cross-examination, I'm convinced that Ammon will do very well. He's very intelligent. He's humble. He doesn't get shaken or rattled. And he delivers very humbly, very appropriately.
Yeah, that's how I would assess the... not being there, that's how I would assess that he would do. His honesty and his humility will come across to the jury and to the judge.
And you might disagree with his views on something, but you can't think that he's a threat in any way. I don't accept it.
No, he's not. He would never hurt anybody.
All right, so that's news number one, that Ammon testified, which is very rare, but very telling, in my opinion, of the confidence that the Ammon's attorney has in Ammon, and the confidence that Ammon has in himself, because, you know what, you can get cross-examined and really get in a quagmire if you're not telling the truth or if you've got something to hide. That's why they rarely let people do it. It opens you up to a lot of questions. You know what, Ammon can take the heat, and I think it'll bode very well for him. I think that they've got it in for the Bundys in this trial, so I'm really concerned, but I will say that's another positive element in this case so far.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I believe that, well, I know for a fact that his attorney wanted him to testify, which is, again, unusual, as you have alluded to, and it is because she knows Ammon's strength and his courage and his humility, and all of that will come across, and I think that's why, I'm positive that's why she did it.
She also knows all Ammon has to do is tell the truth. You can cross-examine him, but the truth will set you free. So that's one key element. Now, another incredibly positive event, and that's why we got Richard Mack on. It's not his normal day. He usually joins us Friday, and we'll get a detailed breakdown on Friday. But when I heard the news on the break, I said, Richard, you've got to come on and break this yourself. I don't want to be the guy to break it for you. You can do it. You know, we got to do it on the radio, but I wanted Richard to tell you first.
Well, his attorney called me last week before I went to Florida, and I, as you know, I was in Florida for 6 days. She told me before I left, and I told her that I'd be going there and that I couldn't miss my trip to Florida because it had already been planned and I really needed to go. And she goes, we want you to testify on Ammon's behalf. And I said, I talked to him while he was in there, and I told him to get out of there. I said, I didn't agree with him being there. She goes, yeah, we know. That's fine. And but she says the trial has been had Sheriff Ward, the sheriff of Harney County, where this all occurred, he's testified twice already. And the issue of the constitutional sheriff has come up several times. And we want the expert on the constitutional sheriff to testify. And I said, okay. But then I didn't hear from anybody the entire time I was in Florida. And I had my phone on the whole time. I made several calls. I even called you a couple of times.
And I've called you, and you're readily available with rare exception.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if I'm in a meeting, I don't answer, but I always call you back and whatnot. But anyway, I got no calls, and Michelle Fiore called me last night and asked if I was going to Portland, and I said, no, I haven't heard from anybody. I said, if I'm needed, I'll go. And then this morning, Ammon's attorney called me and said that they need me to testify tomorrow, and so I'm flying up to Portland today. So I will be testifying in Ammon's trial, and... I've told Ammon and I've told the attorney if I can help in any way, I will. And I would really like everybody's prayers so that I can help and do my best to come across also as Ammon, as non-threatening and humble. And I believe I can tell the truth, but I really hope and pray that I don't do anything to hurt Ammon, and that I am able to help him, and I ask for everybody's prayers. And while we're praying, pray for our good friends, Kevin Blake and his wife Amy in Florida, because this hurricane is headed right for them.
Amen on all counts. I want to say this, too. They are going to do their level best to destroy the constitutional sheriff idea.
Yeah.
They're also going to do their best to pit you against Ammon in some way. You better be ready for that, and the message needs to be simple. Okay, and here's the message in my mind. And again, I'm not the one testifying, but just some thoughts going into it that I've had. And that is this. The constitutional sheriff doesn't think that a sheriff is a dictator in a county as they try to lie and pretend. There are checks and balances. However, on the county level, he is the chief law enforcement officer, and there are jurisdictional checks and balances. And that's what the federal government seems to ignore. Okay, now that is important to understand in Ammon's case, that the sheriff of Harney County, in my humble opinion, did a disservice to the people of Harney County by allowing the FBI to come in, by allowing the checks and balances to fail, and that's where appropriate negotiation could have saved the life of Lavoie Finicum and could have created a different outcome than we see today. Did Ammon make a couple of missteps? In my view, personally, yes. However, does that justify going to jail and having the government separate families for literally decades when they let murderers, rapists, pillagers, and plunderers go free? Certainly not. Is Ammon a threat to society? Not a chance.
No.
And so we need to make these things very clear about the sheriff's responsibility and what he ought to have done. It's a great opportunity in court to lay out the case of how he should have handled this.
Well, to lay out the case for the constitutional sheriff, and that's why I feel a lot of pressure, because I agree with everything you just said. They're going to try to discredit me. They'll try to discredit the constitutional sheriff concept and everything that you and I have been working on for the last 10 years, and even more so the last 5 years. And
pray hard for the spirit, my friend. Tell the truth, and I have confidence you'll be in good shape.
Absolutely, and I'll be fasting and praying that will happen, and that the Lord will bless my tongue to equal his heart. And that's where I want to be.
And we stand for the proper role of limited government. We stand for life, liberty, and property. We stand for the protection of life, liberty, and property. We stand for God, family, country. What we stand for, and by the way, what Ammon stands for is very clear. Ammon, as a rancher, just feels probably the heat more than the rest of us because, you know what? They're taking on ranchers and landowners as the frontline battle right now. And so Ammon seems to be first. In my opinion, I don't think that the moves he made were the best, but I do, I'm convinced his heart is in the right place, and I'm convinced he understands the proper role of limited government. And what we got to do is we got to restore the checks and balances. Sheriff, I know you got to fly. We'll get a better breakdown on Friday after you testify, and we'll look forward to it.
I look forward to talking to you, Sam. Thank
and
you.
In the meantime, I'll be testing the pupusas for the SmackDown. So there you go. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right, Sam and Kurt in seconds.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, you heard it first on Liberty Roundtable Live. I told you we had the best Ammon Bundy case coverage on the planet. That still remains true. We were reporting on it the whole time. We had more coverage than anybody, more accurate coverage. We held the mainstream press to account and more many times on this issue. And now Sheriff Richard Mack will be testifying tomorrow morning at the Ammon Bundy trial. And we got an update quickly that he'll be testifying this morning from Richard himself. And then on Friday, he'll break it all down for us. So stay tuned for that. Now, we had an incredible guest, Becky Akers, last hour. We got a guest coming up next half hour. In the meantime, though, we can change on a dime. We've got some good news, interesting news for you. We've got three quick stories, Kurt, you got to get to. Number one, it all has to do with prayer and sports, huh?
Well, yeah, there's some coach in, what is it, Bremerton, I think it is, who basically, I mean, imagine this in America, Sam. This guy, you know, his standard practice was to pray before the games and after the games at the 50-yard line with both. He invites, you know, players from both teams. They pray to have protection and whatever for the players, you know, so that people won't get hurt. And he, well, anyway, you can imagine they got rid of him. You know, they basically said, hey, you know, we can't have this going around. I mean, what if this caught him? What if this caught on? I mean, more people would be praying. I mean, you can imagine the danger. But anyway, this guy's out of there. He's, I guess you could say, trying to get back in the game. You know, he's got people trying to support him. Even Donald Trump has weighed in on the issue. I don't know if you saw that. It's way down in the story. But he mentioned his plight, basically, and he called it outrageous. He just, you know, basically said, hey, you know, this isn't right, you know, and I agree with him. The coach says, basically, how can, you know, somebody, it be okay for people to not stand up for the pledge or whatever, you know, that's all constitutional or whatever. They can protest, but they can't pray. You know, anyway, it's a
great point. Well, he said he prayed, by the way, both before and after games. Yep. For years, for the safety of all the players involved, and often players from both teams would join him on the field and bow their heads.
That's right.
Now, the lawsuit's interesting. All Kennedy, that's Coach Joe Kennedy, all Kennedy wants is his job back. He's not even seeking for any monetary damages.
Yep.
So, in my opinion, this is an example where good people standing up makes the difference, Kurt. People say that we can't win anything, that we can't do anything. I completely disagree. This is a great example of it just takes one, then two, then the few, and pretty soon the school is asking, or the attorney says that the school is acting in a hostile manner to Christianity. See, I agree. If they were like wanting to put a Satan, you know, depiction up there, if they want to, you know, do something salacious, or if they want to somehow deny patriotism, or then it would all be cool. But since it's like Christian in nature and somebody wants to pray, they're like, oh, can't have that. The double standard is out of control.
You know, by the way, Sam, I remember participating in these evil kind of ideas when I was a kid as well. I mean, you know, coaches praying and, you know, us praying before games and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, you imagine the danger. I mean, somehow I survived, you know.
Well, government school's out of control, as you know. This coach case is a great example. But now a little kid's going to college, Kurt.
Well, that's right, a nine-year-old. Now, the interesting part about this story in People magazine is where it comes from, which I thought was pretty interesting. But, you know, the little kid, well, he's got a, what is it, a 27, let's see, a daughter, brother and sister that are 29 and 26, and this kid's nine. His parents call him their what was it, their 17-year surprise. In other words, you know, a big difference in there. But, 17-year surprise. You know, the nice thing is they didn't kill this little baby, Sam. I mean, they let him be born. And now, you know, he's really, his goal as a 9-year-old college student now is basically to prove that God exists. And, you know, he's planning on earning a doctorate degree and working as an astrophysicist. I can hardly say it, but he's going to do it. But anyway, you know, pretty interesting stuff. I thought it was so cool. You know, here's a little kid that many other parents would say, well, hey, it's 17 years apart. I mean, we can't let this, you know, little thing kind of mess up our schedule, et cetera.
But they say the kid's a pure genius, Kurt.
Yep. Good point. I mean,
so you got pure geniuses saying, my goal is to prove God exists. I don't know if he's going to be able to prove it, but certainly his heart's in the right place. That's for sure.
Amen.
And youngest people ever to attend college. See, they don't want to talk about this guy now. If he was some sexual pervert, if he was like some transgender, whatever, then it'd be like top billing news, right? But since the bottom line, according to the young man named William that's 9 years old, he wants to prove that God does exist. He believes in God strongly, and that's his quest. And so then now they're really not going to talk about this guy. But they will talk about this 102-year-old woman. She's got a bucket list going on, huh, Kurt?
Well, yeah, there's a lady 102 years old. You know, a lot of people have bucket lists, and one of hers was basically she never got to ride in the back of a police cruiser, never got to have handcuffs on, and so she thought it was about time. And so she got a little ride in the police car, and she says, "Do you think you could put those handcuffs on me?" Anyway, St. Louis County car pulled up and gave her a ride. She held up her hands with handcuffs on, and the ABC News guy said, "She's just a riot." But anyway, I guess what this lady does for fun, Sam, I mean, she makes robes and scarves and pot holders and eyeglass cases and walker bags, all to deliver to people that she thinks needs them, but she's never delivered them in person, but she got two in this, cruiser, police cruiser there. So
yeah, anyway, and she said she made her first wearable item when she was 10 years old. It didn't look very good, but she made it herself, and she wore it when she was 10 years old.
That's
pretty
right.
Cool.
Good point.
And the interesting thing about, I don't have on my bucket list to get arrested, though, Kurt, I'm just saying.
No.
Even for fun. I mean, even for whatever, just so you can say you've done it or whatever, I'm kind of off the plan, personally.
And the final line of the story I thought was really good. It says, she said, "It's a great world if you just open your eyes and look at it."
Boy, she right about that.
There's some good counsel from a 102-year-old woman.
Well, and it may be that she lived to be 102 because she didn't get arrested the whole time, Kurt. Maybe that's part of the secret to success. You know, because we need to tell the Black Lives Matter people. One of the phrases that I've been working on is, don't hate, don't escalate. You know, you don't need to run from the cops. You don't need to get all belligerent. Yes, cops have done some wrong things, and the bad apples have got to go. I'm not defending that in any way. However, I am saying, look, you're not going to help by running. You're not going to help by pointing a gun at the cops. You're not going to help by escalation. You're just not. Now, if you feel like you're being wronged, we've got court systems. And I know a lot of people feel like there's no justice in the courts. We've got to fix that, too. I'm not at all denying the problems that we've got. All I'm telling you is you'll never fix the problems with violence, running away, hostility towards the cops, escalation, non-cooperation. That just isn't the answer. So my response is don't hate, don't escalate. On both sides. You know what? Cops, don't hate.
Amen.
And citizens, don't hate, don't escalate. I'm saying that to everybody.
Yeah, that's great stuff, Sam.
Well, it's pretty hateful, though, to say don't hate. You see what I mean?
Well, that's right, because we know you're a racist, because you're a white guy, and we know, you know, I mean, you couldn't really just care about people and love them and stuff like that.
But what if it's true? What if I really do care about people, Kurt?
Well, I mean, then you're a truther, right?
You know. Oh, yeah, see, I just can't win. This is, I'm white, I'm a racist truther, telling everybody don't hate, don't escalate.
Yeah, good point.
See, I'm just too protective of the cops, though. But see, I'm the one that said...
And all lives matter.
But I'm also the one, Kurt, that said basically that, you know what, I'm saying this to the cops and to the people. I'm saying this to everybody. I'm no respecter of persons, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, we have a guest coming up. It'll be a knock your socks off guest, too. In seconds, Liberty Roundtable live, baby.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. The Obama administration plans to allow 110,000 new refugees into the U.S. in 2017, up from the 85,000 of 2016. But the administration refused to say how many refugees would come from Syria, Somalia, Iraq, Burma, Afghanistan, and other hotbeds of Sunni Islamic radicalism. Senators Ted Cruz and Jeff Sessions from the Subcommittee on Immigration and the National Interest tried to find out whether these refugees will be screened for potential terrorists with dangerous ideals. But Leon Rodriguez, Director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, refused to give the elected representatives details about the vetting process. Rodriguez did admit that it's possible for people from Syria and other terrorist-infested countries to have their refugee applications approved based simply on personal interviews with a highly trained immigration officer, reports the conservative news service WorldNet Daily, and he could not deny that in many cases there is no data from the refugee's home country that would corroborate or refute his story. On further questioning from Senator Jeff Sessions, the immigration official admitted that the screeners ask no questions about whether the applicants believe in Sharia law, honor killings, sexual mutilation of women, or their ability to speak English, and lacking any data from the home country on most people, they essentially have to take the immigrant's word for whatever answer they give to any questions. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable on your favorite talk station continues. Man, we've just got guest after guest after award-winning guest. It's incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, the debate was interesting. I believe Mike Pence absolutely, absolutely destroyed his opponent. I don't even want to name, Timmy? Anyway, I digress. It was a very good debate for people who believe in principle. And Mike Pence did a great job standing up for pro-life and literally standing up for the proper role of limited government. Far from perfect, in my opinion, but a stellar job. Anyway, we just finished the last segment talking about don't hate, don't escalate. That is police as well as citizens. We got to really stand for peace and civility here, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, I wrote an article on Facebook and elsewhere, libertyroundtable.com, called Clarion Call for Civility. But anyway, our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ed Timberlake. He wrote the New York Times bestseller, Year of the Rat, which chronicles the Clinton administration's Chinese connections. How fitting, right after the debate where that issue and the discussions with Russia and more were brought up big time. Ed, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you very much, and I'd like to make one statement about sure. The Rat, which I wrote as a congressional investigator following Russia and China in the 90s, and I'll tell you the results of that. But one of the first radio hosts to interview me when he was on radio was Mike Pence in Indiana. He treated me very well.
Well, good for Mike.
Back listening to Mike Pence on the radio.
Mike Pence is a gentleman. I don't think he's been perfect in government, but yet, you know what? He's a family man. He's a gentleman. He did not melt down under pressure last night, even with 70-plus interruptions by just his opponent, not to mention the moderators' incessant interruptions as well.
Yes, sir.
He did an incredible job. All I'm telling you is we need a stable guy like that involved, and he's far from perfect, but all I can tell you is this. It should give a lot of people comfort that he's there.
I couldn't agree with you more. And if you want to look at leadership skills, the number one choice that the president-elect has, the number one thing he is judged on, or she is judged on, is the selection of the vice presidential candidate. And Donald Trump picked a man who I have a lot of respect for because he did treat me very fairly on the radio. He's a nice guy. He's Midwest nice.
Yes, he is. Nope. Now, by the way, when it comes to Hillary Clinton, you know, a lot of people, we shouldn't attack her. And I agree with a lot of that, except for we do need to talk about the rule of law and law and order.
Yes,
and the fact that she's literally perjured herself before Congress. She's literally been involved in destroying evidence against a court order. Those things are criminal and cannot be dismissed, sir.
I can't agree with you more. In fact, Year of the Rat was my attempt in 1996 as a congressional investigator to bring accountability and actually the rule of law to apply against President Clinton and Hillary Clinton. As a chapter in the book, I have her dead to rights on taking, in today's terms, it's chump change. But the Ministry of State Security, the People's Republic of China, sent an agent in through Johnny Chung, who I interviewed, to buy access to the Clinton White House for $50,000. It comes from China. He presented the check to Hillary Clinton, First Lady's Chief of Staff, Maggie Williams, and sure enough, the CIA-designated official in the White House chronicled who these people were. They were foreign entities from China, Costco executives, their ocean shipping company, and their goal was to stand behind the president on the Saturday radio address. Now, the logic of that for $50,000 may escape Americans, but if you think of China as a totalitarian society, someone standing behind the leader when he talks to 1.3 billion people, has tremendous reach and power. They believe in that. I can't say what President, Republican, and Democrat has said on Saturdays, but the bottom line was money was in, favors out, and that's been a pattern and practice to this day.
It stands as an endorsement of policy, even though it's never said, never done, never committed to. It gives that viewpoint in the minds and hearts of people around the world.
Correct. Exactly right, sir. And I
can, and in my opinion, it borders on treason, sir.
Well, I never used the T word in the 90s, only because I was on the congressional staff and I didn't want to take the debate that far. I'll never dispute the word either.
But it needs to go that far, sir. It has to. Because now we have literally millions and millions and millions of dollars transferred to one of the greatest harbor nations of terrorism in the world, Iran. We literally illegally transferred cash to these people. Now they can train, they can arm, they can fund, they can we haven't seen nothing yet, sir, and it's all because, again, we have this attitude that somehow we can play with foreign entities with a hostile agenda to the American ideal, and somehow it won't harm us. That is criminal, sir.
Well, here's a dimension to everything you just listed, and it's true. Everything you said is very true. $150 billion goes into Iran. They're going to build missiles that can reach Israel and Europe and with nuke warheads to America eventually. That's where they're going with it. They gave the money. It's death to America, death to Israel right away. But here's a dimension to the money flowing in Iran that, having studied the Clintons' pattern and practice of they do everything for money, what amount or how much of that money will be kicked back to various politicians that made this thing happen? So in other words, Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State and Barack Obama as president created this huge slush fund in Iran that may wind its way back to America, because I've seen that. And the problem you have when you get thugs buying their way in, and they have, Russia, I did the Russian mob too, what they have is two edges to their ability to impact on America. One, the money, the direct money. You know, you always ask the great joke, is our Bill and Hillary honest politicians in the sense of once they're bought, do they stay bought? You never know with those guys. However, the extortion factor, the minute they take the money, these thuggish regimes are not beyond just extorting answers because they got them on corruption. And I went to a Russian mobster with 60 Minutes in a Paris hotel room, and he made that case that, yes, Bill Clinton takes money from him, he's got them. And that's exactly how the foreign corrupt people see.
And that's why I call it treason. When you sell that and it puts America at risk, when you have those American leaders literally over a barrel, when you have them compromised like that, when you have them, I'm not sure what word to use here, but you have them in a position where they cannot carry out their oaths of office, and they have betrayed their oath of office by putting themselves in that position. It's not like they don't know they've done it. It's not like they don't know ahead that they did it. It's not like it was a mistake. It was intentionally with foreknowledge going in, right?
That's true. Oh, very true. And what I will be satisfied with, very much so, and I really hope this is the case. I had, before I left government, I had been appointed to two jobs with Ronald Reagan politically, a presidential appointment for Bush 41, and I went back as a retired annuitant to help fight the war for Bush 43. I went to Iraq and did the inventory of all the conventional weapons that were in there illegally, not the WMD. I went all over Iraq and made that documented case. So then I worked with the FBI for 5 years as the DOD liaison to the FBI Counterintelligence Executive Committee. That was my job. And I had my heart broken, as did many other FBI agents, I'm sure, and other naval investigators in our Air Force, et cetera, on the pass, the walk that Hillary had for violating our espionage protection laws. She signed documents, or they can't find them. She should have, not to release classified information. And that's not what happened. And I'll take that to a different dimension of threat to America, and then I'll connect it directly to your fundamental point of the danger and why she should be put in jail. It's very simple. She was, as Secretary of State, number four in the line of succession of something bad happening to the president. They worked their way through to always have a responsible official to press the button to retaliate. You know, the continuity of government, that's what it's called. President, vice president, Speaker of the House, President pro tem, and Secretary of State, because it's ranking cabinet and she's senior. She was briefed on all the responses on how to save America in the event of a decapitation strike. This is serious stuff now. Nothing else will destroy us as a nation like a national catastrophe of a global strike on us. That's a fact. We survived a lot. We survived the Civil War. We survived the Great Depression. But nuke weapons hitting America across the board is dangerous. And she betrayed that by using an unclassified server for some of the most highly classified information in the world. And that's in America. And she did that. And she did that knowingly, and you say with full malice of forethought, to protect herself and her money and her greed. Those emails have never been seen, but I know they exist because I had the program with Reagan. I was the director of mobilization. I owned the site. I know that program. It's highly classified.
Well, help me understand something then. How come we can't have Trump and Pence hammer on this so hard that it becomes the discussion point? Even though Mike Pence did incredible last night, the moderator, mixed with interruptions of 70-plus times, acted like Mike Pence should be on the defense all the time. Look, this is clear. I don't care if Donald called a girl a pig or not. Sure, he shouldn't have done it. That's goofy. Don't do it anymore, Donnie. But next, we're talking about criminal activity literally from the highest echelons of government in America, putting America in a national security at-risk crisis. And we can't get the debate focused right?
No, it even gets worse because I follow this stuff. As you know, I write on it. And, you know, I was a guy in the room for a lot of these things in the investigations. I mean, I'm an original source for a lot of your listeners. They can take it for what it's worth on my words, but that's where I was. And I just recently, of all places, mind you, the New York Times had this story where...
All right, hold on. I want you to tell the story, but we're going to get interrupted by a break. Stay right there, Ed Timberlake, ladies and gentlemen. Year of the Rat and More, best-selling New York Times book, and he's been everywhere. We'll tell you about it in seconds.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives.
please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Ed Timberlake with us, ladies and gentlemen, author of the best-selling, well-known book, Year of the Rat, and more. He's talking about he was there in these inner rooms for these discussions and what's happening, etc. You were telling us about the New York Times, sir.
Yes, I'm here. I can't believe I'm going to do this, because the media is so against Trump, and they're just using everything that man says against him, and they're making it up even. But I'll leave that off the table for a second and say that the New York Times a couple days ago reported Hillary has a phenomena different than Donald Trump. Donald Trump is an intellectually honest man. You ask that man a question in public, he'll give you an answer. He gets him in trouble at times, by the way.
Yeah, many times, unfortunately, because it's only half the story. He just responds on the fly, right?
But at least he'll take the question and give it weight to the merits of the question. Hillary is only outed, if you will, when she says something, usually behind closed doors in a fundraiser or in a slimy situation. That seems to be the dark rock she operates under, and I'm being nasty here, but I mean it. So all of a sudden it was reported in the New York Times that she's positioning herself, I think it was in a fundraiser or a closed meeting, where she didn't think you should modernize. America's military should modernize. We desperately need it, by the way, what we call our triad, our boomers, the subs, the Minuteman missiles, and the Air Force strike, long-range strike assets, bombers, with cruise missiles. She said, not necessary. I read that, and I couldn't believe it, because that is a softer position than President Obama. I mean, if Obama's standards of not helping the military is your bar, Hillary didn't even make that. And I'm thinking, my God, why would she single that right now? It's silly, because all the leftists that believe in arms control are going to vote for her, right? I mean, she's already got that vote in the bag. So I'm trying to figure the calculus, if you will. And it dawned on me that somebody got to her to say that because there's one country in the world that wanted to hear that right now, and that was the People's Republic of China. They benefit from that statement immensely because it gives them hope that their modernized military, all the secrets they stole in the 90s, is now out there on the high seas in the Wall of Sand in the South China Sea, facing Japan, the dear leader, threatening us with incineration. All that stuff was given away in the 90s and covered up.
Let me ask you a question. And this is basically through the mainstream press, in a debate and everything else, and in the New York Times, one of the largest newspapers in the world. This is a signaling to China that don't worry, I've got your back. Is that an overstatement?
I would go on record saying that from all my experience, there's no other explanation for that, for the simple reason she does not have to go that far to already curry favor with the hardcore left that believes in arms control. I mean, she already got their vote. So why would she do that in a way in which it would be leaked other than the single, and is it for money or extortion? I will go that far in calling her, I accuse.
And I will say the answer is both, and it was a signal.
It was a signal. Of course. And there are other signals going on all the time on this stuff. I'll give you another example. I was in the room with Mike Wallace, 60 Minutes. I did a segment with Mike Wallace. We flew to Paris to interview one of the heads of the Russian mob, Dr. Grigory Luchansky. very smart man. You know, he's obviously running a Russian mob, so he's very threatening, and I was warned that he is a threatening guy. However, he was funny as heck, too. I mean, he had a real guy, smart guy. So Mike Wallace said, Dr. Luchansky, did you try and bribe our president? And Luchansky said, oh, Mike, of course I did. Yes, I did. It may be a crime for him, but not a crime for me. Implying, of course, that the money in is a crime for Bill Clinton. The head of the Russian mob knew it, laughed about it, and knew he had him once he took the money. So all these pay-for-play schemes, all this banana republic that Hillary is creating, she's corrupted the Constitution, she's corrupted law enforcement, and that's pattern and practice, sir.
Let me say this, though. I understand the pay-for-play. I get it.
Right.
Pay-for-play is the Clintons' way, writes the Hill, just today, by the way. But I bring this all up because pay-for-play makes it sound like, oh, it's not really good, but they shouldn't have done it. But
correct.
Okay. What
You're
we
exactly right.
What we need to call it, though, is this is criminal activity that puts American security at risk.
I could not agree with you more. I tend to avoid writing pay-for-play. What I usually talk about are the corrupt societies that money in and favors out. The money in is given by People's Republic of China, Russian mobsters and others, Iranians soon to be, probably. And the favors out, that's where you get them. Because you're exactly right. They've crossed over a line, and they've sold more than they should possibly have ever sold to put us at risk, and there's been no accountability. And that's a problem.
Now, the other problem is they use pay-to-play often, or pay-for-play, whatever. The other thing they use is this. You got Guccifer 2.0. By the way, that's the hackers that allegedly hacked Clinton's foundation and finds pay-to-play. People get caught up in all these words, and then their eyes glaze over, and they go, you know what, I don't really know. I don't know about hacking and computers and espionage and all this stuff. We need to literally put it on the kitchen table for the American people. Hillary and Bill and those surrounding them have literally, literally destroyed America's safety and stability for filthy lucre. It's criminal, and they belong in jail. It's treason. I'll be the one to say it, because even though a guy like you that may work for government doesn't want to lead that charge and handle that debate, I will, because that's the arena we need to be discussing this in. If it's not treason, sir, what is?
No, it's high crimes and misdemeanors. And the reason why I avoided the word is I didn't want the headline, which Clinton will do to you all the time. Congressional staffer calls the president treasonous. And that would have been a headline, and it would have trashed Congress, because that's how they played the game. I fully support your use of that word 1,000%.
And I don't mean to take it to catastrophic levels when it doesn't need to be. And if it was just, you know, Hillary got a bunch of money, okay, I don't really care. What the real issue, and the reason that I'm so willing to go hardcore on this, sir, is because our national security every day is at risk because of their actions.
Correct.
My family, my children, my wife, your family, we are all at risk literally every day because of their activities.
That's exactly right. And I bear witness, very bluntly, because I did the investigation that turned into Year of the Rat, the book written in 98. It was the Year of the Rat's 96 when he got reelected. And we set up a congressional committee to investigate all the collectors, are called, not spies, all the information they got from the peoples from America to give to China. And lo and behold, everything they got now 20 years later is in the Chinese military operationally. Their missiles work. Their warheads are smaller with smaller nukes. Their airplanes are trying to get stealthy. Their ships have more accurate fire control. They have supercomputers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of that I bore witness to, and I lived long enough 20 years later to see it threaten our kids in the Pacific theater, like you say, and our families asleep at home right now. Those missiles are operational and can be launched with the press of the button.
Okay, a couple of quick things before the end of the hour. Have I overstated anything, sir?
No. No, you've actually nailed what should happen, quite frankly, after Donald Trump is sworn in as president, which I pray happens, because there has to be accountability and a call to justice, and the Constitution and the Department of the Attorney General, and hopefully the FBI will be on the case. And as far as you can go then, because they're private citizens, is take them down on the Clinton Foundation and get a RICO case, and hopefully they'll lose a lot of their assets in the prosecution, because that's usually how RICO is set up. And just take all that money they got and take it away from them in a prosecution. prosecution RICO case that may have some success.
But we need to really take them on this, because when we do, all they say is we're racist. They're crazy.
Anything I said had nothing to do with that R word. No, I'm going after them because they're crooks.
Well, and that's why we would go after Barack Obama for the same thing.
Yeah, I've jumped into the Clinton world because Barack Obama will no longer be president. And I actually, to be fair to me, I'm the guy that went to Iraq, and guess who I found? I found a guy named Nadmi Auchi. No one in the world knows that name except people in England, because he happens to be worth a couple $1 billion. Auchi is the guy that gave the money to Tony Resco to buy Barack Obama's house. That's the guy that did it. I found his corruption in Iraq. I went head-to-head with Auchi, got him put on the PNG list. He can't come to America. He's a multi-billionaire in England. He was on the vice chair of the Harvard Kennedy School, and he is the guy that was the paymaster for Tony Resco. So I did try and do what I could do to bring it to light about the President of the United States being connected to a very bad man.
We're about out of time. If you could say anything to Americans at this juncture, what would it be? Have you endorsed Trump?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. The only way rule of law and the Constitution will stay solid, like the great Daniel Webster quote, remember, how stands the Union? Rock solid, copper bottom, sheath strong. You know, that famous quote in The Devil and Daniel Webster. There is an element now, 100 years later or further, 150, of the country being in jeopardy. We're resilient. We're strong. We persevered through a civil war. We persevered through the Great Depression. Ronald Reagan won the Cold War. We won World War I, II, et cetera, et cetera. But right now, the future is in jeopardy for the rule of law, the very simple, basic, fundamental principles of the Constitution. Hillary and Bill Clinton have violated by corrupting justice, and that has to be fixed.
That's why you got to support law and order, ladies and gentlemen, come November. You know, this is a really critical thing about the Supreme Court, about the rule of law, about stopping this pay-to-play stuff, which really, in my opinion, is selling safety for filthy lucre. And it's got to stop, and that needs to be the core pivot point in the election, sir.
Thank you for saying that. I'm of a kindred spirit. I respect the fact you put me on your show, and I'm glad I had a chance to share this with you, and I hope together and a lot of other people. The Les Mis song works. Hear the people sing.
Amen to that. Will you come back, sir?
I promise you. Of course. Just ask.
All right. I appreciate you. Ed Timberlake, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your time.
There you go. Thank you.
Year of the Rat, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, he wrote it in like the late 90s, but it's so relevant today. It's actually spooky. It's crazy. He's been everywhere. He stood up for liberty, and now he hangs out with all these big media personnel, and now he gets a chance to appear on Liberty Roundtable Live. How do you like that? Thanks for being alongside with the ride. Both hours in the can. Hard-hitting talk radio always at your fingertips. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com. We're also live and on demand on your Roku player for free. This nation shall endure.